Yathamahanti Bhutani.
Yathamahanti Bhutani.
Bhute Sucha Vacheshvanu. Pravishantya Pravishtani. Tathateshu Tateshvaham. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself exist within everything created, and at the same time, I am outside of everything. Text 36. Ethavad eva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmanaha anvaya vyatirekhyabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, in both directly and indirectly, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To unfold the mystery of bhakti yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries, or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways, by karma yoga, by jnana yoga, by dhyana yoga, by raja yoga, by bhakti yoga. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self and the cosmic situation and of the problems of life. In all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here the goal of all such inquiries is explained. The Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life, and the Bhagavatam answers such inquiries up to this point, or the mystery of all inquiries. Lord Brahma wanted to be perfectly educated by the personality of Godhead, and here is the answer by the Lord, finished in four nutshell verses. From Aham Eva to Etavad Eva. This is the end of the self-realization process. Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness, and as such, everyone is entering into the darkest region of material existence, driven by the uncontrolled senses. The whole material existence has sprung up because of sense gratifications, desires based principally on the sex desire. And the result is that in spite of all advancement of knowledge, the final goal of all the activities of the living entities is sense gratification. But here is the real goal of life. And everyone should know it by inquiries put before a bona fide spiritual master, expert in the science of bhakti yoga, or from a living personality of Bhagavatam life. Everyone is engaged in various kinds of spiritual inquiries, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives answers to all of the various students of self-realization. This ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. One who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji, and that is the direction given here. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord, acknowledged in that disciplic succession. Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole thing by evidence from the revealed scriptures, both direct and indirect. Although everyone is free to consult the revealed scriptures in this connection, one still requires the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and that is the direction in this verse. The bona fide spiritual master is the most confidential representative of the Lord, and one must receive direction from the spiritual master in the same spirit that Brahmaji received it from the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. The bona fide spiritual master in that bona fide chain of disciplic succession never claims to be the Lord himself. Although such a spiritual master is greater than the Lord in the sense that he can deliver the Lord by his personally realized experience, the Lord is not to be found simply by education or by a good, fertile brain, but surely he can be found by the sincere student through the transparent via medium of the bona fide spiritual master. In these four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, all transcendental knowledge regarding the perfection of life is concentrated. Srila Prabhupada has offered the world extensive and very deep purports to these four nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to read the verses. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos
and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna is a person. To realize his personality and to surrender to it as his eternal servant is the perfection of life. All else other than this path and this goal is an illusion, a cause of bondage and suffering. Due to ignorance, we have forgotten our real treasure, and we are chasing after the reflections of that treasure, the mirages in the desert of this material world. Ultimately, this whole material manifestation and all of the elements within it are Krishna's energy. And thus Krishna enters into everything. But at the same time, his divine personality remains separate. His personality, his form, remains always in his eternal abode in the spiritual world. And all the revealed scriptures ultimately declare that to go back to that abode, the abode of the spiritual world, is the only perfection of life. And how to achieve it? One must be very eager. One must search for that goal throughout one's life. In all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. We must be looking for Krishna. We must be looking for the opportunity to serve Krishna in every aspect of our life. Nothing in our life should be separated from Krishna. Forgetfulness of Krishna for a moment is the greatest tragedy. To forget Krishna is to spiritually die. Everyone in this world is so much afraid of the inevitable death of this temporary body, which has literally nothing to do with our eternal self. People within this world are constantly endeavoring, and the prime basis of those endeavors is their fear of death. And they're trying to enjoy the senses. And why are people so afraid of death? Because they're attached to sense gratification. And this body is the vehicle, the means by which they are enjoying their sense gratification. And if they lose this body, they lose the facility for sense gratification. If you lose your desire for sense gratification, you become fearless. When you no longer want to exploit the resources of Krishna's property for your own selfish, fastidious enjoyment, then you transcend fear of death. You transcend all the limitations of this material existence. So sense gratification is the great impediment which causes us to forget Krishna. And if we want to actually progress in spiritual life. Krishna gives us the instruction of how to do so in this verse, which is the conclusion of the nutshell verses. Within the previous three verses, which are the summary study of all transcendental knowledge of all the Vedas, we read about who Krishna is, what is his power, how he is the source of everything, and how this whole material existence and forgetfulness of Krishna is an illusion and a cause of suffering. And Krishna concludes it by giving us this most valuable instruction. We must search for Krishna. We must search for the truth in every aspect of our life. And Krishna reveals himself to us to the very degree that we want to see him. To the degree we want to serve him, to please him. And whatever degree we want to serve our own separate interests, Krishna will remain hidden. And we will be left with nothing but a futile existence in the realm of illusion. We find the great personalities, how much eager they searched for Krishna. Lord Brahma, when he was born on this lotus flower from the navel of the Padmanabh Vishnu, he was searching and searching and searching for his source, for truth, for the goal of life. He went up and down the stem which comprised all the 14 planetary systems. He was not going to be satisfied with anything except finding the truth. And because of his sincere desire, Krishna revealed himself. First he tested him. He told him, you perform tapasya. You forget everything else. You just meditate on me. And Brahma did not want anything else, anywhere else, except Krishna. So Krishna revealed all transcendental knowledge. He revealed darshan of the spiritual world and personally embraced Lord Brahma. This is the perfection of life. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find the story of Tapan Mishra. He was a very, very learned Brahmin and very pious, most charitable. He was the embodiment of morality. But he wanted to know what is the highest truth in life and what is the means of achieving it. And nothing else in this world meant anything to him if he didn't find that out. So he was searching. Tapan Mishra was a family man. He had a nice family. He was not a poor man. He was pious. He was well liked by everyone. But he didn't care anything for his family. He didn't care anything for his home. He didn't care anything for his reputation, for his health, or for his life. Because he understood all these things are meaningless. They are all just a burden if we do not understand the goal of life and how to achieve it. When we understand what is the goal of life and how to achieve that goal of life, then our family, our home, our wealth, our reputation, our abilities, our status in society, they all have a meaning and a substance to be utilized for that purpose. But without that purpose, it is all simply a miserable illusion. And fools, they do not understand that they are living in a miserable illusion. They are trying to stay in that illusion forever. But an intelligent person like Tapan Mishra, he was searching. He was searching from the core of his heart. He was so eager to hear. He was approaching so many saintly persons. He was studying so many various scriptures, and he was a great, great scholar. But he could not comprehend what is truly the goal of life and how to achieve it. Because factually, it is impossible to understand these principles in truth by our own capacity. We were explaining Jananivas Prabhu's explanation of how Srila Prabhupada was speaking to one of the biggest, most well-renowned philosophers and professors of religion. He had big, big specialist PhD. For decades, he had thoroughly studied the Vedic literatures. People were coming to him to get PhDs, become professors. And Srila Prabhupada asked him, "Who is God?" The professor began to explain in so many eloquent technical words, "Actually, this is very difficult. In this scripture, God is said to be this, and in this scripture, this." And he was describing so many ideas. But he said, "Actually, it is very, very difficult to ascertain what is the absolute truth." And Srila Prabhupada turned toward 4-year-old Bhaktin Saraswati and said, "Tell the professor who is God." She said, "He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna." Srila Prabhupada said, "She is a 4-year-old child. She knows who is God. You are a big, big PhD professor. You don't know who is God. Therefore, you are a cheater. You should not teach. You are not a professor. You are a cheater. If you do not know, what right do you have to teach?" We cannot understand who is God by any means except God's mercy. And God's mercy comes only when we are truly and deeply eager to understand Him and we approach the bona fide spiritual master. He can reveal God and He can reveal the way to achieve. Tapan Mishra was searching and searching and searching. He was so anxious. He was so eager. And that was his qualification. And that is the qualification every single one of us must achieve to really receive Krishna's mercy. Becoming Krishna consciousness is not just a matter of joining a movement. It is not just a matter of changing the fashion of your dress or hairstyle. It is not just a matter of giving a donation. It's not just a matter of ritualistically performing your sadhana. It's not just a matter of socially eating prasad. All of these things are stepping stones which help to purify our heart. But the actual qualification which is necessary to make real spiritual advancement is we must very sincerely be searching for the truth in our life. We must be eager. And this begins by hearing. Tapan Mishra was eager to hear. And he approached Lord Sri Chaitanya, actually in a dream. Krishna revealed to him through a divine personality. In this dream, he was told that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the ultimate object of everyone's life has descended in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, and he is now on the banks of Padmavati River. You go to him and he will tell you what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. There was many people. Lord Chaitanya was about to leave Bangladesh. And crowds of people were weeping and crying in gratitude because he had just taught them so much good lessons. They were so grateful. They were presenting him gifts. They were glorifying him. And in that assembly, Tapan Mishra came and fell at Mahaprabhu's feet and begged him, "My life is meaningless unless I know what is the goal of life and how do I achieve it." Lord Chaitanya told him, "The goal of life is pure unalloyed devotion, the desire to selflessly serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. There is no other goal of life. And the way to achieve is through the practice of bhakti, through giving up all egoistic concerns and trying to please Krishna through all our endeavors in life, and to purify our hearts by chanting his holy names. You chant these 16 names of the Lord, composed of 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And very soon Krishna will reveal himself to you. And Tapan Mishra took Lord Chaitanya to a secret place, a little bit off to the side, and told him about his dream. "That I was told that you are Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the goal of life." And Lord Chaitanya, after revealing his supreme opulence to Tapan Mishra, he told him, "You cannot tell anyone what you have seen." But Tapan Mishra said, "Let me go. I don't care anything for anywhere except wherever you are. I want to be with you. I will go back with you to Navadvip." Lord Chaitanya told him, "You go to Varanasi and I will meet you there after some time. And there I will reveal to you deeper revelations of Krishna consciousness." Tapan Mishra was such a personality. One who is truly eager to know the truth, searching for the truth sincerely, is willing to surrender. Not to his will, but to the Lord's will. He wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to enjoy the wonderful Sankirtan pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. At this time, Lord Chaitanya had not yet publicly revealed the Yuga Dharma. He was still in his lila as of a great scholar. Tapan Mishra knew that very soon he is going to open the treasure house of love of God and spread it everywhere through the chanting of the holy names, and have wonderful kirtans and beautiful pravachan and wonderful satsang amongst his eternal associates. And Tapan Mishra wanted to go with him and enjoy all these pastimes with him and serve him to his heart's content. Would you also want to go with Lord Chaitanya under these circumstances? To be a part of the lila, the Navadvip lila? Lord Chaitanya told him, "Go to Varanasi, of all places. The place there isn't a single bhakta. The place which is infested with impersonalists and mayavadis. the place where nobody accepts the form of the Lord. In fact, they blaspheme the form of the Lord as being an illusion. The place where the name of Krishna is never to be heard. Lord Chaitanya sent him there because that was the place the Lord wanted him to serve. And Tapan Mishra, with a grateful heart, accepted that. He renounced the right and the opportunity to be with Navadvip Chandra in Navadvip. He renounced the kirtans in Srivas Thakur's house, the wonderful kirtans in the street, seeing the beautiful transformations of the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya as he danced to go to Varanasi to live amongst the monists. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. No Maha Mantra, only Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. Tapan Mishra is the example of a truly surrendered soul. And it is from him that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, one of the great six Goswamis, appeared in this world. We must all develop this eagerness to hear from the spiritual master, to hear from the great Vaishnavas. We must develop a desire to search for Krishna everywhere and in everything. This is the most important qualification. In every situation of life, we should be searching for the way and the means by which we can serve Krishna and please Krishna in that circumstance. And if it's unfavorable, we should reject it, however painful it may be. However much of a disgrace it may create to our reputation, we should reject anything that is unfavorable for devotional service. And we should accept even the most painful condition if it is favorable for our devotional service. This is what we mean by searching for the truth. Maharaj Parikshit was such a person. He was so eager to search for Krishna. He sat for 7 days without eating, without sleeping, in rapt attention, focused on the sound vibration of Shukadeva Goswami's words. He was searching for Krishna. He was eager for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time there was just a little boy, and this little boy was so eager to hear from Lord Chaitanya about Krishna Katha, so eager that Lord Chaitanya would just give him so much time, even though people were criticizing him, Damodar Pandit. Lord, you should not be spending so much time like this. But Lord Chaitanya saw he was so eager to hear. I must give him Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, he sacrificed his life to travel to so many places. It was very difficult for him to travel. And it was very difficult for him to be giving so many speeches. But he didn't mind, as long as there were people who were eager to hear. But if he went to a place and people were not concerned with listening to him, he understood there's no reason to be here. This is reciprocation. This is actually one of the most important parts of reciprocating with the spiritual master or with the senior Vaishnavas, is to be eager to hear from them. If the Vaishnav comes to speak, and we all have so many other activities and so many other duties and so many other things to do, and we don't come, or we come late, or we come and we're so many other ideas, sleepy, talking, that is not reciprocation of love. He's sacrificing his life to give you the truth, and you don't have time to receive it. Actually, the only way to reciprocate love with the spiritual master is just to take what he has. He doesn't want anything from you. He just wants you to take it. And if you're eager to take it, he is happy. He is pleased. If you are not eager to receive it, then he is disappointed. Then he will go somewhere where people are eager to receive it. This is the secret of success in spiritual life. When Srila Prabhupada would come to speak, everyone had to be there to listen. Unless someone had an absolutely important responsibility that could not be done any other time. Jayananda Prabhu. When Prabhupada would come to San Francisco for Ratha Yatra, he would be single-handedly building the whole Ratha Yatra cart. And if he didn't do it, it wouldn't be done. So Prabhupada was very happy he wasn't at class, because he was doing such a service that had to be done at that moment and no one else could do it. But if anyone else would miss the class simply because, oh, I have this service, if it could be done at a different time, it must be done by at a different time. Otherwise, why should he come to speak if it is not important? Devotees should be running to come. Running! Should be eager to hear. Should be searching for Krishna in his every word. Not talking, not spacing out, not doing other things, not going other places. Because the spiritual master, his purpose is simply, like the postman, to deliver the message of Krishna. That is his life. He has forsaken everything of this world just to give you the message of Krishna. That's his love for you. That's Krishna's love for you coming through him. And to the degree you are grateful and eager to receive that message and apply it to your life, to that degree you are reciprocating with his love. Otherwise, all other talk about surrender and shelter is all sentimental. And what pleases the spiritual master? When he sees the disciples making spiritual progress. Nothing else pleases him. And we make progress to the degree we are eager to hear. We are anxious to hear. Because if we do not hear, we do not know what to do. And then we apply that message to our life through service. Tadvedi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. We must be submissive. And we must inquire with submissiveness. And that inquiry, to the degree we want to know, to the degree we are like Brahma, searching for the truth, searching for the message of Godhead, searching to hear what is Krishna, how to achieve Krishna. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, If you want to be strong to perform devotional service, we have so many practical duties in our life. And those duties are our service to the Lord. But Maya is there. She's always trying to contaminate our consciousness. She's always trying to divert our attention away from Krishna. And we have to fight a battle against Maya. If you are told by your spiritual master or by the senior Vaishnavas to do book distribution or to clean the temple or to do studies or you're doing a particular job or occupation or raising a family, whatever it may be, to actually be searching for the opportunity to serve Krishna at every moment through your occupation is Krishna consciousness. To understand how this is an offering to Krishna and remain Krishna conscious, that is the perfection of our work, not simply the fruits of what we do with it, but how we perform our work. But Maya is always trying to take away our intelligence, pollute, contaminate our minds. Therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, if you want to be strong enough to do your duty in Krishna consciousness, you must eat proper food grains. You cannot do your work physically without eating food grains. And food grains means hearing the message of the Lord and chanting the holy names of the Lord. Unless we have an appetite to hear about Krishna, and unless we are running to that place where Krishna Katha is being spoken, unless we are running to that place where the kirtan is being sung, and nothing else has any importance unless it is a matter of life or death, then we get spiritual strength. Then we could perform our duties in Krishna consciousness. So the question is, do we want to remain a mixed devotee? Do we want to remain the type of the devotee that's basically pious and moral and somehow maintains the standards of Krishna consciousness? Or do we actually want to love Krishna? Do we actually want to surrender to Krishna? Do we want to actually make our life a real offering by which our spiritual master and the previous acharyas can use us for their purpose? That is our question. You get what you pay for. If you want to be a mixed devotee, then we have our mixed priorities. If we actually want to go back to Godhead, if we actually want to become pure, to the degree we are eager, searching for Krishna in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. This is Krishna's instruction to Brahma, which has come down through disciplic succession to this very day. It is the eternal word of God. Srila Prabhupada spent so much time writing his books. He was so pleased when someone was seriously studying his books. He was so happy with that person because he was reciprocating with a grateful heart for the great sacrifice Prabhupada had performed by simply taking it and reading it sincerely. And when Srila Prabhupada would speak, what would please him the most? When people would listen, when they wanted to hear. People would come from everywhere, they wanted to hear. And Prabhupada was so pleased. he wanted to speak more and more and more to reciprocate with that love. His love for you is giving you the message. Your love for him is being there to hear it. And that love increases his love, and he's more enthused to speak it. And we become more enthused to hear it. This is Bhagavad tradition. Shukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, because you are so anxious, so eager, so much you want to hear, so much you are determined to hear this message, I am equally becoming inspired to speak more and more and more with greater enthusiasm. You are showing love to me by your eagerness. I want to give you more love by speaking. And in this way, there is a never-ending reciprocation of love between guru and disciple, between Krishna and his devotee. This is the essence of spiritual life. And then we must apply those teachings without hypocrisy to our life by making Krishna the number one first priority. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all. Is explaining we should search for Krishna and pure devotion to Krishna, and we should not settle for anything else. If you accept any alternative or any substitute, you will not get Krishna. And Maya's business is to provide innumerable substitutes, innumerable alternatives, innumerable excuses and justifications why it is not possible for you to show your love for Krishna, to do Krishna's will, to hear Krishna's message, to serve Krishna's words. Any excuse, any justification to delay the process is simply Maya coming to cheat us. Any thought, idea in your mind, any presentation being given by others, whether it be the politicians, the educators, the social organizers, our family members, our friends, our classmates, anyone who in any way tries to postpone or delay our eagerness to surrender to Krishna is simply being utilized as a puppet of Maya to cheat us. That is a fact. Maya will give us so many excuses, so many justifications, so many reasons, good reasons. Arjuna was full of good reasons not to surrender to Krishna. On the basis of scripture, on the basis of social tradition, on the basis of family pressures, on the basis of emotional and sentimental attachments, Arjuna was speaking so many reasons to justify why not to hear from Krishna and do his will. And Krishna, asochanan vasochastvam. Arjuna, you are speaking, learned man. You are a fool. Everything you're saying is all nonsense. Although socially it was correct. According to the Karmakanda scriptures it was correct. According to family tradition it was. Everything was correct. But Krishna said, you are a fool and you are speaking all nonsense. Why? Because it has nothing to do with your soul.
It has nothing to do with the purpose of life. It has nothing to do with your relation with God. So in the same way, Maya will be creeping in from all directions, trying to give us reasons. But this verse teaches us the real purpose by which we can overcome Maya. We must be eager. We must be searching. We must want to hear. We must want to chant. We must want to please our guru. We must want to serve the Vaishnavas. We must want to surrender to Krishna. We must reciprocate with the love that is being given to us. Not in a sentimental way, but in a real way. And through that process, we get Krishna. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you say that we should be eager to seek and serve Krishna, but it's very difficult to reciprocate with Krishna. Wouldn't it be more practical to seek and serve sincere, straightforward, genuine and intelligent devotees who in turn will give us Krishna? This is my first question. An associated question is, which is more better, to become a good human being or to become a devotee?
Good what?
I mean, is it better to be a good human being than first trying to become a devotee?
If you're not a devotee, you're not a human being. You are a two-legged animal. Human life is meant for self-realization. When you become a devotee, you become a human being. Until then, you are in the human species. But you are not being human, so you're not a human being. You're a human being, an animal. Better to be a human being a human. That means being a devotee. And serving devotees is the means of serving Krishna. You cannot approach Krishna directly. You have to approach through Guru and Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully, so kindly given us this wonderful opportunity. He has created a whole society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In this world, certainly many faults and obstacles will come, but it is Prabhupada's society. It is Krishna's society. And we should always be faithful to this great gift of this movement that Srila Prabhupada has literally sacrificed his life to establish. And we must follow his simple teaching. Prabhupada's final instructions, he told us we should always be strict and never give up the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Always be strict and never give up our chanting of 16 rounds following the four regulative principles and our devotional service. He begged us, never give this up. And show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another to push on this movement. Cooperate means in a service attitude to inspire one another. By coming to Kirtan enthusiastically, we are inspiring everyone to come to Kirtan. By coming to class listening attentively, we are inspiring everyone for Krishna Katha. By working so hard in our service, we are inspiring the whole society of Vaishnavas to perform our service. But we should do it all in a mood of cooperation. Cooperation means not to criticize, not to be negligent to the needs of the other Vaishnavas. We should be very, very attentive to serve the devotees with great care, to put aside our own egoistic ideas, our own attachments, our own social pressures, to make sure we are very, very carefully being a pleasing, exemplary inspiration to the whole society of devotees and serving the devotees in this mood. And in this way, we could actually become empowered. I am leaving this evening. It is in Krishna's hands. When or if we ever come back, nothing is certain in this world. The only thing that is certain in this world is two things: that we will die, and that Krishna's holy name will bring us back to Godhead. Other than that, there's no other certainties. So while we are away, our very humble request is keep Prabhupada's teachings, keep Prabhupada's dream as the goal of your life. Remain united. Do not let anything create disunity amongst you. Unite on the higher principle of service to Guru and Krishna. Remain very strict in your sadhana. And be very exemplary to one another. Come to the programs in the temples. Come to the programs in the congregational areas. Be eager to hear. Be eager to speak. Be eager to participate in kirtan. Don't let things go less. Keep everything increasing. Keep searching for Krishna in all circumstances, in all time, in all place, indirectly and directly. Always search for Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.